Welcome to the Pentecostal Pen. In this episode today, we are going to have an interview with Sister Jessica Marquez. Brother and Sister Marquez were missionaries with the United Pentecostal Church International for 15 years, and they are now pastoring a church in Arkansas. Sister Marquez is also a certified marriage and premarital facilitator, and she is finishing her studies, Master of Divinity, with an emphasis on pastoral counseling at Urshan Graduate School of Theology. Sister Marquez, thank you for joining us today. Sister Marquez, how important do you think marriage is in one's ministry and Christian life?
I believe that one's marriage is very important in ministry. I believe that having the right marriage will allow you to be able to become the person that you're supposed to be in ministry. I just shared, even myself, I knew that I had a calling from God on my life, but because of the way that I had been brought up, even I could not see the full extent of what my ministry should be, but my husband was able to, so I'm very thankful for that.
I have a question here, which is probably a common question, especially for young people. And so if a single or unmarried young person feels a call of God in his or her ministry, what are the things that he should consider or she should consider before deciding to get married, especially with regards to his or her ministry?
I know that somewhere along the way we'll be talking about books, but there is a book that I always say to young people that they should read as they're considering whom they may be dating. Right now, my children are 19 and 20 years old. You know, we're at the stage where this is something that's a reality, especially for our family. And we've always been so careful with our children. We don't believe in casual dating. We believe in courting and things like that. But there is a book that's called The Sacred Search by Gary Thomas. And it's a book for young people who are considering marriage or considering, you know, finding the person that they'll spend the rest of their life with. And it's a very good book for you to just look through and be able to read and see. But there are some things that I think that a young person should consider before even thinking marriage or going out with people, because it's very possible to marry the wrong person. I think that the best advice that I could ever give to somebody is that you should first become friends with the person that you're considering dating. That way you can know who they really are. You could see how the person treats their family, the way that they react around people, the way that they act when stress comes during difficult times, because it will reveal who they are. I think that you should become well acquainted with a person to see how they react to life in general. You should see if they attend a regular worship service, because it's really easy nowadays for someone to act like they go to church, but they really don't go to services on a regular basis.
Right.
Make sure that they read the Bible, pray. Do they bear fruit? You know, the Word of God says that by your fruit you will know them. I think that these are extremely important factors when deciding to date someone, not to mention marrying them. You should just be able to look at this person and not just look at them and see their exterior, but you should also be able to know what they have inside of their heart. I believe that a lot of young people, and even not so young people, get so carried away with the moment, and they end up making wrong decisions because they did not find out who the person was before they took extreme steps or before they started dating and then eventually marrying someone.
Absolutely. You mentioned about casual dating and courting. Do you want to expound on that a little bit, say something a little bit about the difference between the two?
Sure. And I can use this as an example. And I'll say again that my children are at an age, and my daughter knows because I speak extensively throughout our fellowship. And one thing that my husband and I have always advised our children is that we don't believe in casual dating, especially with the age of social media. Young people, I mean, you can see on social media that there's some people that one week they're with one person and the next week they're with another, or the next month or the next year. And It's just so much casual dating, and I believe that when you do this casual dating, you're just giving pieces of yourself away to different people that really you're not going to spend the rest of your life with. And by the time you find the person that you are going to spend the rest of your life with, you've already given so much of yourself away that what's left isn't that much at all anymore. When someone comes and speaks to us about dating our children or dating my daughter especially, we always say we don't believe in casual dating, but we do believe in courting. And courting is for marriage. That means that the person that you're going to be dating is with the intention of maybe one day this person becoming your spouse. Now, it's not, it might not happen that way. That person might not end up being your spouse. But the person knows that we're not just talking about casual dating. If you're going to date somebody, it's because they have the potential of one day becoming your spouse. It's not just because they look good or because they're an amazing person, their personality, and you just want to hang out with them for a while, go out and do all kinds of great stuff. That's what friends are for. Personally, I don't believe that it's very good for a person just to be connecting themselves emotionally, spiritually, in all kinds of ways with a person, and then doing it over and over again. It just kind of leaves you in a spot where you might not want to be at.
Thank you. So primarily the difference will be about the intention, right? You are dating or courting somebody with the intention of this might be a potential person that I would marry.
Yes, that's what dating should be about. Dating should be is because you're looking for a spouse, not just because you want to have a great time, at least in the church. That's the way, again, that I personally feel. I guess I've just seen too many, especially young women, but also young men in the age that we live in, that they give away so much of their heart and they give away so much of their emotions. And because casual dating is so readily accepted, by the time it's all said and done, we see young people that are just left destroyed, and it's really hard to pick up the pieces after you've given so much of yourself away.
Absolutely. There's another question that is really common, and sometimes it is debatable too. But do you believe in like the one, or some people call it a soulmate, that is like a specific person that God has ordained for a person to marry before we were even born?
Well, I was really thinking about this because I personally believe if you look through the Bible and you look for a scripture talking about a soulmate, you're not really going to find one because there's nothing in the Bible that reveals we're destined to marry a specific person and no other. If you look in the Old Testament, there was prearranged marriages that were the will of God. They were isolated cases for particular circumstances and for specific purposes. And we cannot extrapolate or take these examples as something that God will do for everyone. I mentioned before, and I'll say it again, that I do think it's very possible to marry the wrong person. For one thing, believers are commanded not to marry outside of the faith, and they shouldn't marry an unbeliever because God said that we're not to be unequally yoked. Many have never followed this godly advice and have ended up in a marriage that God never intended for them to be in, and heartaches have resulted. But talking about being, that soulmate or finding the one, I don't really think that you finding a soulmate, because, especially in the world, everyone talks about you finding your soulmate. And it's really easy for them when things get rough for them to say, well, this isn't my soulmate, so let me go find someone who is my soulmate. I believe that whenever you get married and you find somebody, that you should work and make sure that this person and yourself can become the people that God wants for you to be. Many believe that there's a perfect person that's their soulmate or the perfect match for them. And I do believe that God will bring the person into your life that should be in your life, and sometimes one can miss it if they're not careful. My husband and I were talking about this last night, and again, I mentioned earlier that we were married when we were 18 and 19, just about to be 19 and 20. We were appointed missionaries when we were 20 and 21 years old. We've been married for 22 years now. We have been praying since we were young for the Lord to bring the right person into our lives. And I've prayed the same thing for my children since they were born, for the Lord to bring the right spouse into their lives. Because I do believe that whenever we pray and we ask the Lord to bring the right person into our lives, that He will. Now, I don't believe that that's your soulmate. This is the person who is going to complete my soul, because the only one who can complete my soul is God.
Right.
So there's no way that I can put that sort of expectation on my spouse, that because I want for him to be my soulmate, he's going to fill all the spaces that I need to be filled in my life for me to be complete, because that is way too much of a burden for me to put on another person. A lot of people live with a misconception that if they have their soulmate, everything's going to be great in life. And they live their life continually looking for a soulmate, and they never find one, because the only one that can ever fill that emptiness or what they're looking for is God. But I do feel that when we pray and ask God to bring the right person into our lives, that as long as we keep our eyes open, because sometimes it's not the person that you expect, but it's the person that God wants for you to have in your life. And as long as you're prayerfully considerate and you have those voices of God in your life and that speak to you. And again, you know, I would like to emphasize, because I've seen it, especially in my age bracket, which I'm 41. There's so many people who have gotten married at a young age, and when they get to my age, they end up getting divorced, their families, in ministry. Mm-hmm. And you wonder, what in the world happened? We've conversed about it a lot just amongst friends, and I remember in one conversation, I told one of my friends, well, you know, the thing is that everyone so readily looks at the outside and what people should look at. But no one really stops to consider at what's on the inside and what someone's prayer life looks like, what their walk with God looks like, and to see if this is really going to make a long haul, because eventually our exterior is going to fade away, but what's inside of us, that's going to last a lifetime.
That's right.
So we want to make sure that the person that we're with is going to be with us for the long haul, and that they have the same, I guess, the same desires that we have. If you have a call to ministry, especially since this call is dealing with ministry, if they feel the same calling that you have. And you can find that out by sitting and talking and becoming friends before you start dating. I think that eliminates a lot, mm-hmm. a lot of things. You know, if you have a checklist, whether you be male or female, of somebody, you know, of something that you expect from your potential spouse or mate, and if they don't fit that checklist, then maybe you should find somebody else.
Especially if they don't have a desire to be in the ministry.
Especially if they don't have a desire to be in the ministry, because a lot of people say, well, and whether it be male or female, you know, used to be just a male, well, eventually she'll, you know, I'm the one who's called, so, you know, she'll just fall into line. But now so many women are being called into ministry also, so it can go either way. If they don't feel a call to ministry before you marry, God could do something absolutely amazing and change them completely. I've seen that happen, but more times than none, I've seen the person who felt a call to ministry be pulled out from their call because their spouse just did not feel the same thing that they did.
Right. And personally, I know some, they are thinking that, well, I'm going to marry this person or date this person, and God will just change him or change her in the process of dating or marriage. And I don't know what you think about it, but I think it's like a wrong mindset. That I heard a preacher one time that he said, if he's not praying now, he's not going to pray in the future probably, or will not have a desire if he's not submitted to his parents or his pastor now. Like, don't expect that your marriage or your courtship will change that.
Well, you know, I believe that God can do miracles. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a preacher of faith. I preach faith.
Yeah.
But I do not think that God can change the will of a person, because if a person has a very strong will,
right,
they're going to make their own decisions. It doesn't matter what God wants for their lives. So if a person right now is not demonstrating any sort of potential or character towards ministry, it is very rare that that's going to change. In fact, again, and I'll say more times than none, I've seen people say, well, along the way, their hearts will change or their minds will change, and they'll be able to, get on board with what I feel from God, my calling. And that really never happens. What ends up happening is a person who felt the call to ministry loses their ministry or walks away because they don't want to lose their marriage.
We've been talking about what God wants, asking the Lord to bring the right person. But how could a young person know if the person that he or she is trying to date or court or wants to marry is the will of God for him or her?
Besides praying, I do believe in the voice of mentors and your pastor and in counsel. I'm very thankful that up until this point that the young people that we've worked with, because we've always been so open with them about how we feel when they see a potential candidate for dating, they'll come and they'll sit and they'll talk with us and ask what we think. I believe that whenever you have voices in your life that will also pray with you and ask the Lord if this is what he wants. I mean, it just kind of takes a load off of you. You don't have to make all of the decisions by yourself. Now, in saying that, I also believe that if you feel in your heart that this is what God wants and God is leading you and guiding you, that when you sit down and you talk, if you have parents, you speak with your parents, and if you speak with your pastor and they feel along the same lines, and you all just continue to pray, that's great. But I would say that if you see somebody and you're praying and you're like, wow, this is the will of God for me, and you see things, but then somebody that you absolutely love and trust, like your pastor or like a parent that has been very close to you and helped you all your life, and they see something that's a big red flag, and they tell you, you know what, if I was you, I would just stop and consider and see this, and maybe you don't see it, but they see it, I would really stop and consider. Sometimes people who are very close to us that are outside of the relationship might see something that we're not able to see because we're so involved and so close to the situation or to the relationship.
Thank you for especially mentioning the importance of pastors or spiritual authority when it comes to relationships and marriage. And I've heard many young people who complain about spiritual authority because it seems like they're trying to control them. But I think it was Brother Victor Jackson who mentioned one time that spiritual authority is there not to control us, but to protect us.
Yes, especially if you're involved in ministry and you want to have a ministry. And I agree with Victor. Victor is my friend. You know, I have my spiritual authority. And if there's something that they feel that's a red flag, and they tell me, even though I might not agree in the moment, I always stop and I listen. Mm-hmm. And 9 times out of 10, they're right. So I've learned to listen to the voice of the people that God has placed over me, because that's why they're my authority. That's why the Lord has placed them there. And I would much rather have the protection of my authority than not. And that's the same with young people. It would be so much more better for them to listen. And I tell this to my children, and I tell that to the young people that we work with. So much better for you just to heed advice and to pause and pray and consider than for years down the road for you to regret that you didn't take a minute and stop and say, is this really the will of God in my life? Because once you make a decision and once you get married and time goes on, it's just not about you anymore. There's a whole lot more involved, and you can't go back in time. It doesn't matter how much you wish you can.
Right. Absolutely. For instance, a person is in a relationship right now, and probably the pastor would say, well, hey, you need to consider this, and there's a red flag, or parents will tell a different thing. How would a young person talk to his or her current person that he has a relationship with? Like, how would a young person in a Christian way deal with it? Because there's a lot of probably young people, when the pastor would talk to them and say, you know, you should consider this relationship, and they will just leave the person. And that's not probably a Christian way to do it. But what would you say to a young person who feels that God wants to end the relationship or consider that relationship.
Well, I do believe that we should be kind always, because kindness goes a long way, especially if you've already formed a relationship with somebody. You should not be mean to that person when you're trying to stop a relationship. But in saying that, there are certain ways that you can do things. If I were a young person, or if I was talking with a young person, I would say to them, why don't you speak with the person that you're in a relationship with and say, why don't we put pause on this relationship for a moment and let's seek out the will of God, because this is what my authority feels right now, and I've just been maybe feeling something along that line also, and I really care about you because you're my friend. Hopefully they're already friends by this time, but I think that if we just really searched out the will of God, that the Lord would speak to both you and I, and maybe we can sit down and talk about this later. Now, if that wasn't the case and the person that they were dating or going out with just became angry about it and did not want to do something like that, which I think that that's considerate to be kind and say something along that extent. But if they were just flat out ugly about it, I would just say, you know, I have always gone to my spiritual authority, or I have always spoken with my parents or whomever they speak with. And I'm just not feeling that this is a moment for me to continue on with a relationship, because I feel that I need to focus more on my relationship with God. Because if I don't have a strong relationship with God, there's not no way that I can have a strong relationship with anybody else.
Right, right. Thank you for that. Would you say something about those people who feel so depressed and sorrowful? I know there's a pain involved in ending a relationship, or if there's something happening in the relationship, but would you encourage a person in that line?
Sure. And I can say that a lot of times that young people feel this way because they have already given so much emotion, so much of themselves to somebody that they should not have given it to. And I'm saying it in this way because they're giving spousal privileges to people who are not their spouse. So when the relationship is ended, it's almost like a death to them, because they have given away so much and they're left standing with nothing. And when they're left standing with nothing, they're overwhelmed with regret, with guilt, with all of these racking emotions about losing somebody that they had given so much of themselves to. So before I give encouragement to that person who has already made that decision, who has already done this, I would say to those who are listening that still have not, don't give spousal privileges to someone that you're dating. And I'm not speaking just in the physical aspect. I'm even speaking in the emotional aspect. The Word of God says that when you marry somebody, that the two become one and you become one person. I believe that's even spiritual. So when you get so connected with another person that's not your spouse, and then all of a sudden they're not in your life anymore, you have already connected with them in a way that is going to leave you bleeding once that relationship has ended. So for the person who finds themselves at that moment right now, I encourage you not to only pray about it, but to find someone where you can sit down and seek counsel. Find a counselor that you can work through what you have been through, so that they can help you go through every step that you need to go through. Because as long as you keep everything inside of you, you will feel depressed. You will feel all of these overwhelming emotions, suicidal, like you mentioned. And you'll feel like you can't go on. But it's at these moments that you really need to find someone that can help you. And in helping, I would encourage you to find a counselor to speak to. Also, remember that when you take your things, you know, take all of your issues, take everything that you're going through, just take it to God and give it to Him. God always gives us the strength that we need to be able to get through whatever situation we're facing.
Thank you so much for that encouragement and some reminders. We've been talking about single or unmarried people, especially who are considering ministry, but let's go to some points here about people who are already married. If a married person is involved in the ministry and his or her spouse is not serving the Lord, what advice would you give to that person?
A lot of people sit down and ask me this question because they're in ministry and their spouse is not. Sometimes it's very difficult, not sometimes, always it's difficult for you to proceed in ministry without your spouse by your side, but I have seen it. I have seen people continue on in ministry without the help or without the support of their spouse. It's not the ideal thing, but sometimes it does happen. It depends on the situation. Someone may have come into church after they had, you know, after they had already been married, before they, you know, they were married before they were saved. If God has called you to ministry and your spouse is not in ministry, and that's even if, you know, whatever the case may be, I believe that your calling in your ministry did not come from another person. It came from the Lord. And if the Lord has called you into ministry, I don't believe that you should give up your calling in your ministry for another person. You know, I've mentioned that I've seen people walk away from ministry because their spouse just didn't want to be a part of it anymore. And they would rather save their marriage and lose their ministry rather than save their ministry and lose their marriage. And there's just such a fine line because, of course, you know, marriage is very important. But I believe that every case is different. And if I could just go back to our spiritual authority, that's why God has given us our pastor and our spiritual authority to be able to help us walk through these situations that we find so difficult in life. And they can lead us and guide us and help us to be able to understand what God wants for us at that moment, because I could give a generalized answer. But unless I specifically know the case, because my husband and I are pastors, and if one of my saints came up to me and told me their situation, I would be able to counsel them and help them walk through whatever they're going through. But every case is so different. Mm-hmm. And each person, you always want to make sure that you help them continue down the path that God wants for them to be on. And you want them to make sure that they continue to be the person that God has called them to be. I don't believe that God calls us for ministry and then just leaves us hanging and says, you know what, I called you to ministry and I'm going to put every obstacle in the way for you never to be able to see your ministry come to a full, you know, just to come to a full bloom. I believe that God puts people in our lives to be able to help us and to even maybe help our spouses to understand. Because I have seen people in ministry that their spouse has never been in ministry, but they're there. They'll stand, they'll clap, they'll support, they'll That's do everything, right. But they're not going to be a part of the ministry, but they'll support their spouse. So, I mean, each case is different.
When it comes to people who are married and involved in the ministry, and I know this is very important in every family or marriage life, but how can a person involved in the ministry balance his or her family life and ministry? I know we have a general idea that the family or the marriage should come first before anything else, but would you give us some points on how to balance this?
I started traveling extensively, I guess, when I was 29 years old, so I've been doing this for maybe 12 years, where I travel besides pastor, besides, you know, first wife, then mom, and then ministry. So pastor, travel, conference speaker, mom, you know, and I'm at the head of a large conference that we take internationally. And we have quite a few conferences throughout, I guess, the world, just different countries. And we take large teams of women, and balances is always the key. At first, it took me a minute to be able to learn balance, because one always wants to do everything. And if you try to do everything, eventually something is going to slip through your fingers.
Right.
And you're going to miss something that's important. I remember I sat down with my children. They were 9 and 10 years old, and I told them, especially when I first started traveling extensively, and I told them, kids, I want for y'all to know that mom's going to be traveling a little bit more than what she used to. But anything that's important to you is important to me. So it doesn't matter what conference I've already accepted, if something ends up being really important at school for you and mom has to cancel, I'll be more than happy to cancel because you come first for me. And that just gave my children a security in them, that they knew that it didn't matter where I was at or what I had been invited to do, they came first in my life. I believe that when a person in ministry finds true balance, the true balance will be first a relationship with God, because if you don't have a relationship with God, you can't have a relationship with anybody else. I've already said that one time. I say it because I truly believe it. When you start seeing everything fall apart, I think maybe you should go back and look at your walk with God. Maybe there's something missing there.
That's right.
Because the closer you are to God, the easier it is for you to make the right decisions and right choices in life. And the further away you are from God, the easier it is for you to make the wrong decisions and the wrong choices in life. So always your relationship with God should come first. When you're married, because we're now talking about marriage, I believe it's also key for you to look at your relationship with your spouse. Because if things are not right with your relationship with your spouse, it's going to bleed over in other aspects of your ministry. And it would also bleed into your children. And things just won't be right at home. And it'll be really hard to balance anything if all you are living is continual strife in your marriage and in your home. So you should always make sure that your relationship with your spouse is right. And if it's not, you should stop and pause and say, what's going on? Because really, how can you have a strong ministry if something is not right in your marriage? And if you're having problems there, you should seek wise counsel. And when you seek wise counsel, you should find somebody that can help you walk through those difficult moments in marriage, because the more that you're married, you'll find that there are difficult moments that come. Maybe not because of your marriage, but just because of life. Life brings difficult moments. So you have to be able to find that balance and have those voices. So your relationship with God, your relationship with your spouse, your home, and then your ministry. And I know you said a generalized topic, you know, that we all know first God, then, mm-hmm. then our family, and then church. And it has been said so much, and almost like it's been ingrained in us. But, you know, when something is said so many times, sometimes we forget the very basic things. Because we've heard it so much, we forget that it truly is very important. And once we are able to establish that all of this is well, it's so much more easier to balance. Because I can balance things the way that I balance them because I know that I can depend on my spouse. And because I can depend on my spouse, wherever God takes me in ministry, I know that maybe I can't do it all because I'm not some superhuman being. But because my husband and I work together in ministry, if I can't do everything, both of us working together, we can balance anything that comes at us in life. But if I didn't have that secure relationship and if I didn't have my walk with God, it didn't matter how hard I tried to balance. Eventually, everything would come tumbling down.
I have a question here and a follow-up question. It's probably a personal one that I've been wondering too. A reference for some future ministers who will be involved in the ministry and will have a great family. And for the current ones who have family and are involved in the ministry. But is it right for a minister to, they leave probably the issues or the problems of the ministry and not bring it into the family? Or is it better for a minister to bring it to his or her spouse and family and do it together or work together to solve that kind of a issue? Or,
well, you know, I think it really depends on your spouse and it depends on the marriage, because I know some that if they took their problems to their spouse just would not be able to handle it. And it would just be too overwhelming. In my case, in my husband's case, we have been a team since the very get-go. And we have always worked together in everything. And if something is going on in ministry at the church, or whatever church we may pastor, we always sit down and we talk about it. You know, the Bible does say two are better than one. And my husband and I have, besides us being, husband and wife, we have always been friends. And I'm very grateful for that friendship because that friendship has allowed us just to be able to sit and talk. So when it comes to ministry, he's a pastor, I'm the co-pastor of our church, and it's been that way through many of the churches that we have started and pastored. We sit and we talk like ministers, but he always knows that I'm his wife and he is my husband, so we always have each other. It doesn't matter what happens, we know that the other one is going to stand for the other. So any problem that comes at us, we're not by ourselves because sometimes ministry can be overwhelming and you need somebody else that you can talk to and somebody else that will pray with you and help you during those times. I find it really difficult myself. I see sometimes how some in ministry carry the load all by themselves. And I pray for them because sometimes that load is very difficult to carry by yourself. But I understand that, there are just some that are not equipped to be able to carry the overwhelming burden that pastoral ministry or whatever ministry you might be in brings to the table. At the same time, because we do have children, whatever kind of problem or whatever kind of issues we may have been facing in ministry, we never brought them home. Once we hit the door of our house, inside of our home, we never spoke about it because we did not want for our children, we didn't want for them to look at anyone differently or for them to be affected by what was going on by someone that they loved or someone that they considered friend. We never wanted for our children to have a bad view of ministry. We wanted for them to always see ministry as something to be respected and aspired to. So my husband and I have always been very careful of bringing any sort of problem into our home. And if we had anything that was pressing that needed to be spoken about, we always came into our room and closed our door and spoke about it by ourselves and never in front of our family.
To end this interview today, I'd just like to ask you if you could pray for our listeners today.
Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to be able to speak today about marriage and ministry. I know that whenever you're in the midst of marriage and ministry, that things can be absolutely awesome and great, and you lead us and you guide us and you take us to places that we could never have imagined that we could be, and I'm very thankful for that. But also I know that in the midst of questions and finding a spouse and finding a mate and trying to balance everything in ministry, that sometimes things can seem overwhelming as we try and find the path that you're trying to take us down. So I ask you today, God, that whatever place we might be at, that you just continue to show us what you want specifically for our lives. I ask that you help us to be able to not only hear the voices of wise counsel and spiritual authority in our lives, but to also understand that when we obey, that obedience is better than sacrifice. So I ask you, God, that as different, whatever level that we're at, whether we be married or looking for our potential spouse, that you always allow us to be able to remember that without you, there's not no way that we could have any sort of healthy relationship. So always allow us to be able to put you first in our lives. And as we put you first in our lives, lead us and guide us down the paths that you want for us to be able to go to, because we want to be effective in ministry. We want to be able to change our world. We want to be able to be everything that you have called us to be in ministry. So we thank you for every listener that is listening now to this marriage and ministry interview. And I ask you, God, that you be with us and that you help us so that we can always make right decisions and right choices. In your precious name we pray. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Marquez, for your time and the insights that you have put into this interview.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. We appreciate it.
God bless you.
God bless you.
And that concludes our interview with Sister Jessica Marquez. I hope you have learned a lot of insights and lessons from this interview about marriage and dating and ministry. And before I end this episode, I just want to share with you some of the materials that Sister Marquez has recommended to me and to our listeners about marriage and dating and ministry. So if you have a paper or a pen or a phone, just write these books down on your notes. First one is The 5 Love Languages by Gary Chapman. The second one is The 7 Principles of Making Marriage Work by Jan Gottman. Third one is Sacred Marriage by Gary Thomas. Fourth one is The Boundaries in Marriage by Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend. And a book for those who are dating, Sister Marquez mentioned this book, The Sacred Search by Gary Thomas. Again, thank you for listening and God bless.